Jesus said to the chief priests and elders of the people, "What is your opinion?" A man had two sons. He came to the first and said, "Son, go out and work in the vineyard today." He said in reply, "I will not," but afterwards changed his mind and went. The man came to the other son and gave the same order. He said in reply, "Yes, sir," but did not go. Which of the two did his father's will? They answered, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. When John came to you in the way of righteousness, you did not believe him, but tax collectors and prostitutes did. Yet even when you saw that, you did not later change your minds and believe him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Once again, we are presented with another parable by Jesus. Now, it's easy at times, I think, to hear these parables through our own experiences. You know, when I hear the parable about the two sons, I think both of those sons are in trouble. The first, because as soon as he said he wasn't going to do what his father wanted, would have been grounded, wouldn't have even had a chance to have done the work. And the other one because he hadn't done anything at all. But it's important for us to remember these parables were presented to a group of people in a specific culture, in a specific time period. And so we have to understand a little bit about that culture to really understand the point Jesus was making and why, in many cases, that point was quite revolutionary. So, in Jesus' culture, honor was a huge, huge deal. And in fact, this exchange between this father and his sons would not have occurred in the home, behind closed doors. It would have been held probably in a very public manner. The father probably would have sought his sons in the town square where they were, and asked them publicly, and let me rephrase that, because it says quite clearly, he ordered them to do the work, to work in that vineyard. So when the first son says, "I will not," that brought dishonor. That bit brought dishonor to his father. And so the people that would have watched this exchange would not have thought highly of that son at all, no matter what he later did. The second son, when the father approached him and said, "Yes, I will," he brought honor to his father because he obeyed his father. At least his public words were in obedience to his father. And the fact that he actually didn't go and do the work would not have mattered to the rest of the people that witnessed this. But Jesus isn't talking about honor here. He stresses it is the obedience of the first son that was the most important thing. Now, in Jesus' time, he continued to call to task the chief priests, the elders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, because too many times they were not obeying God's word. And when I say obeying God's word, again, this is a cultural context. To obey means to listen to God's word and be changed by it and allow it to make a difference in one's life. So it wasn't necessarily the hypocrisy of the chief priests and elders that concerned Jesus the most, it was their lack of obedience. Now today in our second reading, it meshes quite nicely with today's gospel. In it, St. Paul writes, "Do nothing out of selfishness or out of vainglory. Rather, humbly regard others as more important than yourselves, each looking out not for his own interests, but also for those of others." Ultimately, the important virtue that Jesus is stressing is that of humility, a surrender of one's life to God, depending upon God. He, of course, modeled that throughout his life. And ultimately, by being humble, that virtue led to his obedience. Now, as I said before, when we use the word obedience, it is to respond to God's living word. Now, when we take a look at the Bible and take a look at some of the characters of creation, of God's plan of salvation, we begin, of course, with Adam and Eve. It was their disobedience that led to sin entering the world. God only had one thing he told them they cannot do, and that is eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge. All the other trees, all the other things they could eat of, but not that. The disobedience of Adam and Eve led to sin, death, and suffering to enter the world. And it caused a rupture between the Creator and His creation. And ultimately, it barred the human family from eternal life in heaven. As we move through the Old Testament, we see the story of Abraham. Abraham, sometimes referred to as our father in faith. Now, Abraham had been made a great promise. Your descendants will be numerous as the stars. That promise meant his future was secure because he would have offspring, and that offspring would continue to create descendants as numerous as the stars. But then Abraham was asked to sacrifice that future by sacrificing his son Isaac. And just as Abraham was about ready to complete that sacrifice, obeying God in doing so, the angel stayed his hand. And because of that, his future was secure. And the promise of salvation that had been set in motion took a large step forward. When we move on to the New Testament, we see the obedience of Mary. Mary, who we believe was probably of teenage age when the angel visited her. Her saying yes could mean her being ostracized in her society. After all, here would be a woman who is not married, a girl who is not married, and yet is pregnant. And yet, despite that, she said yes. She accepted her part in God's plan of salvation, and that, of course, made possible the incarnation. The Son of God was born of Mary because of her obedience. St. Paul went on to write about the Son of God, about Jesus our Savior. Though he was in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because Jesus surrendered his life to his heavenly Father, he was obedient, even though it meant giving up his very life for our salvation. So, if the great actors in God's plan of salvation are obedient, why aren't we? Why is it that too many times we decide, you know what, we know what's best for ourselves. We're going to make it our own way. We might hear God's word, but we may just say, yeah, but I've got a better idea. I've got an easier plan. Too many times we hear God's word and we don't obey it. We don't allow it to make a change in our hearts. But when we do hear it, and when we do obey it, even if it's in small ways, we participate in Christ's obedience. As Christians, as we look at the crises that occur in our world, racial injustice, violence, exploitation, demeaning the value of human life, we see these as spiritual crises. It is a lack of accepting God's grace, which flows from his Son's sacrifice on the cross. Christ's obedience didn't just win us salvation, but Christ's obedience allows grace to be offered to each and every follower of his. Every follower of Jesus is called to surrender himself totally to God. But here's the rub. This obedience is not achieved through the sheer force of our human effort. Instead, the obedience to God's word is a gift given to us from God. And that gift comes from the grace of Jesus' ultimate act of obedience, his sacrifice on the cross. My dear friends, each and every time we gather for the Eucharist, we encounter Jesus' living word as we listen to the scripture readings. And then we encounter our Lord and Savior as he sacrifices himself on the cross for our salvation. May we be open to the grace that flows from that sacrifice, so that we may truly be obedient sons and daughters of the living God. It is what we were created to be, and is what will make our Father in heaven the most pleased.